Welcome to AMA Edgewise. I'm Dave Summers. AMA Edgewise is brought to you by the American Management Association. In order to survive today's challenging work environment, you need to develop a broad, deep, and diverse network of personal connections. Effective investments in your networks can make you smarter, more knowledgeable, and better grounded, as well as a more agile learner and collaborator. In The Connect Effect, author Michael Dulworth identifies three distinct kinds of networks: personal, professional, and virtual, exploring their specific characteristics and offering strategies, tools, and resources for building up and making the best use of each one. Mike, welcome to Edgewise.
Hi, Dave. It's a pleasure to be here.
Mike, given the present economic downturn, how important is networking to employees and managers?
It's more important than ever. And let me give you an example of that. I recently was giving a speech in Washington, D.C., and had a number of people come up to me after the meeting and say they did not feel like their networks were very good or very strong. They had recently lost their job and were looking for a new job, obviously, and having some difficulty in doing that. And one of the reasons they were having difficulty is they didn't have very good or very deep or very diverse networks that they could tap into. Obviously, when you need your network is not the time to build your network. You actually have to build your network and leverage those relationships and have reciprocity within those relationships over a long period of time. And then when you need them, they're there for you to respond and to connect you with other people and potential job leads. And the other thing that I think is parallel to that is the idea of having a really incredible network you've created over decades or multi-year period that forms what I call the network zone. Parallel to sports, when you're in the zone, you're at this really high level of performance. With the network zone, you're able to really do almost anything through your network. You can accomplish anything more efficiently, more effectively, and have a better outcome through leveraging your network. And that's a network that you have to really create over time. It's like any organism, you have to care, and the feeding of the network is very, very important. People have to be willing and ready to respond and to help you in any way that they can.
Let's talk about baby boomers, many of whom will be retiring soon. Many of them will be thinking of a second career or a part-time job or something like that. What should they do about retaining their professional network as they retire?
It's incredibly important to maintain whatever professional network you've created over your career as you transition from one career to another or one phase of your life to another, and to maintain those relationships, at least at some level. It doesn't have to be that you're connecting with these people in the same way that you did in the past, where they were your colleagues or your suppliers or your customers, and you were in contact with them a great deal. Maybe it's something where you just stay in touch with them every 6 months. You never know what value can be derived out of a relationship or from a relationship. And you have to maintain as broad and as diverse of a network as you can, because you really don't know when it's going to be a contact that really makes a difference in your life or with something that you're working on.
In your book, you talk about something called a personal brand. What is that?
A personal brand is very much like a product brand. I think people have brand identities too. I don't think they really understand what their brand identity is, and they don't do very much to enhance or to manage, if you will, their brand identity. A lot of it is caught up in their personality and just how they are as people, but it's important to at least think about your brand identity from a networking perspective and try to get a feel for how other people perceive you and react to you. Is there anything that you can do to have people respond to you or react to you in a more positive way through your brand presence and how you project that brand presence? Obviously, there's very negative things that can be associated with brands also. Just your speech pattern, how you talk, how you look, how you present yourself, how you communicate is all wrapped up in what I think of as your personal brand. So write it down. Just get some picture of what your brand is from your own perspective, and then maybe show it to 5 or 10 people and say, how do you perceive my brand or how I present myself? And see if there's any differences. That might highlight some areas that maybe you need to work on a little bit. You need to change some things in how you project your brand. But like a product brand, personal brands can get destroyed overnight by your doing something unethical or immoral or those types of things. And you can't take long, long time to recover from those. So you really need to protect your brand. But first, you need to understand what it is and then work from there.
Mike, sometimes you want to connect with people at the personal level rather than the professional level. Instead of talking about a job or the work you do, if you talk about dogs or children or where you were born, how do you do that without getting into trouble?
I run a professional networking organization called Executive Networks. We build and manage and facilitate networks for HR executives from the largest corporations in the world. When we have meetings of those executives or in a virtual format, were very much about building personal relationships between those people and getting them to know each other on a personal level. What that does is build a very, very different level of trust between the individuals. And through that trust, they're able to share best practices and information between each other that really makes a difference in terms of the quality of what is going on between those people from a networking perspective. It's amazing to me, in our networks at least, the things that people are willing to share, even with people that they've just met 15 minutes before in the right safe environment and the right process with the right framework. They're sharing very, very personal things about themselves. Other people reciprocate with the same kind of personal anecdotes, and they form these bonds immediately, which then transfer into more of a professional relationship.
In your book, you talk about networking being a conscious, systematic approach. How do I begin to set up such an approach?
Step one, I talk about mapping your network. There's various ways to map your network. For example, just starting the way I did with my mother and father, the first two people of most people's network, obviously, and then siblings and cousins and aunts and uncles are the first part of your network, if you think about it. Then people that you meet in school and people you meet through sports and people who you meet through your community and your church are the next level of your network. And then you go to college and that's another level of network building. And then you get jobs and that's another level of network. So your network basically, like a tree diagram, can just grow exponentially over time. So I think the first thing people need to do is to map your network. And there's any number of ways to do that effectively. What I find is that most people's networks are actually better than they think they are, but they've never really sat down and mapped it in a way that they can know how good of a network they really have. Then the second thing I ask people to do is what I call the first degree of separation game, not 6 degrees of separation, because I don't find that to be very useful in a networking context, but 1 degree of separation. So after you've mapped your network, go into your network, pick out those individuals that you think are well-networked and say, well, who do they know? Who's 1 degree away from me through them? And what I find when you do that is your network is much, much better than you actually think it is. And 1 degree of separation is almost like they're part of your network. If they're 1 degree away and you have a good enough relationship with that person that is the conduit to that person that you may want to meet, you, in a sense, have them as part of your overall network. So doing those two things, I think, can be very effective. A third thing that I would suggest is that you just make it more of a conscious effort every day. And maybe you just need to have a sticky note with network written on it or something like that, where you can just focus on it for 10 minutes a day and say, what have I done today that has either built my network or enhanced my existing network in some way? Have I had lunch with somebody? Have I had a telephone conversation with somebody? Have I sent an email to somebody? Have I said happy birthday to somebody? Have I queried somebody about a sick parent? What have I done that has connected me to my network in a meaningful way today, both from a maintenance perspective of my existing network and from a building perspective, somebody I may want to meet or I may want to become a part of my network?
What are some of the common mistakes we make when we're trying to create a network?
The biggest mistake people make is to think about networking as the accumulation of business cards. You somehow meet a lot of people and just collect cards as a metaphor. You may not collect their cards, but in that context, it's a very, very superficial connection that you've made with that individual. They won't remember you if you connect with them, try to get back in touch with them. They won't remember anything about you because you've really had no meaningful interaction with them. One of the reasons that I wrote this book is that I read a number of books on the market about networking, and I was really turned off by them. I thought they had very superficial approaches and were all about the metaphor of the business card gathering process. And that's not effective. It doesn't work. And it's not the way most people will naturally go about networking if they think about it in a systematic way.
The name of the book is The Connect Effect, and the author is Michael Dulworth. Mike, I want to thank you for coming and for joining my network. We really appreciate your being here today.
Thank you very much, Dave. Pleasure to be here.
Remember, we'd really like your feedback, so please drop us an email note at podcast@amanets.org or call us at 800-697-3406. That's 800-697-3406. Thanks for taking us along. I'm Dave Summers, and you've been listening to AMA's Edgewise.